My name is Jim. I'm a veteran, and I lost both legs in Vietnam. My victory was proving that a disability is not a limitation.
I'm Julius. I'm a veteran. My victory was going from homeless to home.
At DAV, we're on a mission, helping veterans of all generations get the benefits they've earned.
I'm Cece. My victory was finishing my education.
When America's veterans win, we all win. Help us support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Don't miss Show Transition, three times a day on The Score. First between Mully and Haw and the Bernstein and McKnight Show at 9 a.m.
Aren't the Patriots the most hated team in sports? Maybe more so than the Yankees?
But I would say the Yankees still. I really would.
Really? I mean, I might despise Boston sports. No longer.
You want to talk about annoying fans.
Oh,
Boston.
My God.
Let's have some pizza.
And at one between Bernstein and McKnight and the McNeil and Parkins Show.
The insurance industry is getting out of the contact sport business, and it's going to threaten organized contact sports.
I'm not surprised by it. I forecasted several years ago the end of high school football in America.
The NFL does not have general liability covering head trauma.
And before 6 p.m. with McNeil and Parkins and Lawrence Holmes.
It's amazing how much farther the Cubs and the Sox are from each other out there than they are here.
The traffic in the Phoenix area is so unpredictable, that trip can be 35 minutes and it can be an hour and 35 minutes.
You are correct.
Show Transition, three times a day on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station. Thanks for streaming The Score. The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6.
Talking to Brian Billick from the NFL Network. In terms of where they go from here, it was a weird game. Like, I felt really good about Mitch and where almost like eliminating playoff jitters because of how well he played in the fourth quarter. But in the first half, it looked like he was going to have three interceptions and he couldn't handle the moment. Like, so what do you do when evaluating a performance like that?
Oh, I don't know. That's hard to evaluate a quarterback on a single game given the magnitude of the game. There's a lot of young guys that get big-eyed in that situation, and they'll be less big-eyed the next time they're there. So they could feel good, particularly in their first year and what they've done. They've got a great base to go forward with it, and I think they got to feel good about their quarterback. So as painful as it is right now, I think Bears fans can, I mean, put yourself in the last couple of years prior to this. I mean, you weren't even close.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's all relative.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Capital One Bank USA N.A.
The Score is Chicago's exclusive home for Super Bowl 53. The matchup is set. Don't miss the New England Patriots take on the L.A. Rams. Listen live Super Bowl Sunday on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Radio.com Sports. A Westwood One sports production. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A Radio.com station. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studio. The Score!
This hour brought to you by White Castle. 20 White Castle original sliders for only $10. Online or in-app only.
11.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
1, 2.
Midway, the most important of the year.
3, 4.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
It's not 10. You see, you're on 10 here. Where can you go from there? Where?
To 11.
11, exactly.
11.
Midway. So real, you can almost feel it.
The Midday Midway with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
Talking about a memorable football day, a championship Sunday that had drama and controversy and replays and bad calls and annoying fans and some amazing plays. But because it was just so frigid out, probably a ridiculously high viewership. And a lot of stuff that was happening.
Well, we missed one thing. Again, a great broadcast.
Yep.
I mean, really good broadcasts on either side. I was glad that neither game was marred by a lack of attention to detail.
And we talked to Chris Raybon from Action Network about his thoughts on that and our Super Bowl matchup.
So last week, I think it was last week. Yeah, I did a little review in the Midday Midway of a movie I'd seen, Aquaman. I did not care for it and thought it was one of the worst movies I've seen in quite some time. The only redeeming characteristic of it would be Jason Momoa and his undeniable charisma as just a person on screen. Apparently, there are movie reviewers who have gotten death threats for writing similar reviews, to having similar ideas about I did for not liking the movie Aquaman. I don't know, I don't want to give the names of reviewers, but they're findable and out there. I have a general question. Even if you, and I got plenty of brushback, like on text, whatever. It's like saying, no, this movie was fine. It was a B movie and it was good and what a great. None of you needed to kill me, right? I mean, we can all be sane about disliking movies or liking movies and having a disagreement and moving on.
Yeah, I wonder how people are going to feel about the fact that I'm not even interested in seeing it. Does that make me even worse?
I don't know, but it was a bad movie, and we gotta pull back at some point from the liking and the not liking things, like chocolate and vanilla, right? As somebody once said.
Chris Bryant is allowed to not like St. Louis.
Of course he is. Of course. And he doesn't have to have a breakfast of Jordan Hicks fastballs because of it. It just doesn't have to happen that way. Everybody should be allowed to not like some things. I should be allowed to take my time to come around on Tony Romo. I am willing to be convinced by facts otherwise. I think we all ought to be closer to that, is all I'm saying.
I don't know if you did, but I and the family last night after football, after our homemade soup, decided to enjoy Super Wolf Blood Moon. And we had a perfect view right on our back step and in our little backyard there, bundled up and walked out the back door. It was awesome.
I completely forgot about it.
It was really, really cool.
What did it look like?
Well, first you start to see the eclipse beginning, and this was supermoon, meaning earlier in the night. It was probably a different part of the phenomenon when the moon first emerges. It's larger than it normally would be.
And when did it bleed?
Because of how close it is. Well, I'll get to that. Okay. We'll let it bleed in a moment. But it was the wolf moon because it is the first full moon of the new year. And it was a blood moon because the Earth cast a full shadow over the moon, which created a blood red color. And you can get some great time-lapse photography. But we in Chicago, right around 9:30 was when this started, watched it begin to creep a little bit and started to look a bit red as you saw the white sort of disappearing vertically. And it looked almost like the crescent moon, but vertically. And then, for a brief period of time, you could discernibly see a red-tinged moon as the shadow of the Earth fell over it. And it was right there for you, right there for the naked eye. You didn't need a telescope. You didn't need anything. Completely safe to view. If you missed it, you should be sorry you missed it, because it really was memorable. It was really cool. I stood out there in the cold until I just got too cold and had to come in. But it was great.
We mentioned the noise in the Superdome, the whistler, the whistle monster?
Whistle monster.
Whistle monster.
Not monster.
Right.
Monster. He's more dangerous that way.
Apparently the noise had actual effect, not just on the Rams, but also on the structure. Videos have come out from fans, and there's, you know, like Jurassic Park, as the T-Rex approaches the Jeep and you see the ripples in the water cup.
Yes.
People are posting videos of their water cups, like sitting on a cup rest or something like that in boxes and whatnot. And there's a ripple that's going on in the water itself.
Well, a chunk of ceiling fell out of the press box.
That's what I've got for you here. Julie Boudwin of NOLA.com, which I believe is an offshoot of the Times-Picayune, but I can't remember.
It is.
Has photos of drywall. Or actual ceiling structure falling down onto the Superdome floor and shattering. It happened in a couple of different places, but the noise was apparently so loud so as to shake the Superdome and its actual foundation. That is incredible to me. And another piece of evidence that Sean McVay and Jared Goff just deserve a whole lot of credit for coming back in that game and finding out how the hell to play football in that noise.
Have you ever been to a game there?
I have, yeah. I went to the national championship, LSU and Ohio State, and it felt like a real super. Like, usually, those college games don't work out the same way. That noise doesn't exist the same way. But because it was LSU, that was a home game for them, essentially. So I'm there in the Superdome as that game's going on. 80% LSU fans, all kinds of noise. It was incredible.
Yeah, I covered the Super Bowl there in 97 and also did a Bears-Saints game. The difference in decibel level between the Bears game and the Super Bowl was remarkable. Our next stop, Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. The fourth largest city in Saskatchewan. Since 1984, residents of Moose Jaw have had one big thing about which they could boast: Mac the Moose. The Canadian city was long the proud owner of the world's tallest moose statue. a 32-foot steel-framed creature covered with metal mesh and cement. This from BBC News. And I did not know this. I did not know there was a claim to fame around the world to have the world's tallest moose statue. And there it is. That is Mac.
That's a very tall moose.
In Moose Jaw. But a few years ago, a slightly taller moose statue was erected in Norway. A much cooler looking, metallic, dangerous looking.
It's almost a millennial moose.
Yeah,
is what it
hood
is.
Ornament. Terminator 2 shiny moose statue. That thing's that's gleaming. That's not like the cartoonish Mac the Moose, but that was in Norway, and that beat the record by 30 centimeters. But now, Moose Jaw has launched a campaign to reclaim the crown. According to Fraser Tolmie, the mayor of Moose Jaw, he said, "We're considered to be very mannerly and respectful, but there are things you just don't do to Canadians. You don't mess with Mac the Moose. Norway's Storelgen." And what do you think Storelgen means in Norwegian? How do you translate?
Tall moose.
Big moose.
Big moose?
Yes, Storelgen translates to big moose. Stands on a highway partway between Norway's capital of Oslo and the city of Trondheim. It was built in 2015 by artist Linda Bakke in partnership with Norwegian Public Roads Administration in an effort to reduce traffic accidents. I'm not quite sure how a giant gleaming roadside moose would do that, but she thought it was important that it was made higher than Mac the Moose, and she actually said that in the Daily Scandinavian. And Mr. Tolmie was recently alerted to the loss of the crown by Saskatchewan YouTubers who posted a video urging the city to add 31 centimeters to Mac or to rename the city simply Jaw. So the mayor said the city has since fielded a number of suggestions from residents on how to add to Mac's height. A suggestion about stilettos, most popular suggestion, what's the easiest way to make a moose taller? Give him a bigger rack of antlers.
Yep.
So they're thinking maybe they're going to do that. One of the most photographed roadside attractions in Canada. We'll see how far Moose Jaw wants to take this. And cities take their statue supremacy very, very seriously.
Oh, the Bunyan Wars have been.
I learned this when I was in Bemidji.
Oh, yeah.
And right up there against the giant Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox. And all along the Paul Bunyan Trail, there are various cities that will brag about the size of their bunion.
Local militias will mount for these kind of things. It's very scary. Yesterday, Dan, was the anniversary of one of my favorite things on the planet. Yesterday was a good day. In the song, "Today Was a Good Day" by Ice Cube, Ice Cube offers clues to which day exactly was his good day. Can you name any of the clues that happened within the song itself? In the text, we find out what day is his good day.
Did he get a triple-double?
Messed around and got a triple-double. Clue number one is he went to Short Dog's house. They're watching Yo MTV Raps. Yo MTV Raps first aired
with our guy's right here.
Uh-huh.
Ed Lover's right down the hall.
August 6th, 1988. So it must be after that. Clue number two is that the single itself was released on February 23rd, 1993. So it must be before that day. Clue number three, and this is the one I always will never forget. The Lakers beat the Supersonics. So you have to pick dates between August 6th, 88, February 23rd, 93, on which the Lakers beat the Supersonics. If you add those up, there are 12 in total. We can narrow that down further. Clue number four, dates those Lakers won over the Supersonics where it was a clear day with no smog. Four of those dates.
Okay.
We're getting down to it. Clue five.
This is like Criminal Minds where the hacker is working. You know, can you narrow it down any further?
This,
yeah, we got
this is the best thing that I've ever seen. Clue number five, got a beep from Kim and she can go all night. Beepers weren't adopted by mobile phone companies until the 1990s. So that rules out one of the dates where the Lakers beat the Supersonics, and it was a clear day with no smog. We are left with now two dates.
Okay.
January 18th, 1991. January 20th, 1992. Ice Cube starred in the film Boys in the Hood that released late summer of 91, but was being filmed mid-late 1990. And early 1991. So Ice Cube would have been busy on set filming the movie January 18th, 1991. Too busy to be lounging around the streets with no plans. Ladies and gentlemen, the only days where Yo! MTV Raps was on air. It was a clear and smogless day. Beepers were commercially sold. The Lakers beat the Supersonics, and Ice Cube had no events to attend. January 20th, 1992. Yesterday was the anniversary of a very good day.
That's really nicely done. I admire your police work there, Lou. If I tell you that Tony Mendez died, what would you say?
Everybody goes. We're all going to die, dust to dust. That's just, maybe that's just 15 years Catholic school working.
Name doesn't ring a bell at all?
Mendez, not Menendez.
Not Menendez. Tony Mendez. This isn't, not sports. Does that name ring a bell?
Should. Feels like it should.
Okay, what if I told you that a story involving him when a very famous actor who directed the movie also played him and it won Best Picture?
Nope, nothing.
Tony Mendez was the CIA veteran who smuggled six State Department workers out of Tehran the hostage crisis. The movie Argo.
Sure.
Ben Affleck's character, the movie directed by Ben Affleck, was he played Tony Mendez, who led the extraction, the incredibly, incredibly complicated extraction via the Canadian embassy and through the Canadian government, and a harrowingly depicted, a wonderful film. I mean, really, a white-knuckle thriller of a true story film.
It was pretty good.
Oh, it's tremendous. But the actual Mendes, Tony Mendes, passed away at age 78 after a battle with Parkinson's disease. And Ben Affleck took to Twitter last night, and he tweeted, "Tony Mendes was a true American hero. He was a man of extraordinary grace, decency, humility, and kindness. He never sought the spotlight for his actions. He merely sought to serve his country. I'm so proud to have worked for him and to have told one of his stories." So it was a cool move by Ben Affleck, and this is a guy who really didn't want to be known.
That wasn't the job.
But ended up having his story told and immortalized in a fantastic movie. If you haven't seen it and you don't know the story, it is certainly worth your time.
That is the Midday Midway. We do it every day here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. There is news afoot. The Washington Post has a report that has spoken with the NFL about fixing what ailed the Saints yesterday. We will let you know exactly what's going on when we come back. Potential fixes in the NFL after yesterday's incredible day of football. It's Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago's sports morning show.
Tom Ricketts, the Cubs chairman.
Like I said, we had a great team last year. We got pretty far. No one liked how it ended. You know, we like what we have, and we think these guys are going to come back. And the way it ended is going to bring our guys back even more motivated than ever. We like our guys. We're going to have a good season.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
This is John Feinstein with the CBS Sports Minute, sponsored by Bosch Icon Windshield Wipers, the calm in the storm. The Los Angeles Rams deserve nothing but credit for their comeback win in the NFC Championship game on Sunday. They were down 13-0 in the first half in the Screaming Superdome, and they rallied to get even at 20-20 in the fourth quarter. Then they fell behind 23-20 and tied the game just before the buzzer. Their only lead of the day came when Greg Zuerlein kicked the winning field goal in overtime. And yet, their win will always be tainted because one of the most blatantly missed critical calls or non-calls in football history. On third down from the Rams 13, LA's Nickell Robey-Coleman clearly interfered with Tommy Lee Lewis on the 3-yard line. If the call was made, the Saints would have had first and goal and could have run the clock to almost zero and kicked the winning field goal. It isn't the Rams' fault, but the NFL should be ashamed. I'm John Feinstein.
Kids, K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids, 1-877 Cars for Kids, donate your car today, 1-877 Cars for Kids, K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids, 1-877 Cars for Kids, donate your car today.
To learn more about our programs and to donate, visit us online at carsforkids.com. Remember, it's Cars with a K. Pickup is quick and easy. You'll also get a vacation voucher and maximum tax deduction.
1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS, K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids. 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS, donate your car today.
Also accepting boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
What's in store for your business this week at Staples?
Doing business like a CEO while saving like a CFO.
Staples has all the supplies you need to run your business like a boss at prices that'll make your bookkeeper smile.
Now that is an achievement.
Everything from paper to pens.
And right now, a 12-pack of Bic Round Stick ballpoint pens is just 99 cents. And a 5-pack of Sharpie Accent highlighters is only $1.99.
At Staples, where there's a whole lot in store. Ends 1/26/19, in store only. Assorted colors. Limit 5.
The kitchen calendar may say 2019, but if your kitchen's more like 1992, come into the Home Depot for up to 30% off appliance special buys. Like a 4-piece stainless steel Samsung kitchen suite, now just $2,978. More than 2,000 off a Samsung fridge, gas range, microwave, and dishwasher. Better mark it on your new calendar. Up to 30% off select appliances. Now, at the Home Depot. More saving. More doing. U.S. only while supplies last. See store for details. Electric range available at extra cost. Valid through January 23rd.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
The average smoker tries to quit up to 30 times, and many are looking for an alternative. Juul was designed by smokers, for smokers, to be a satisfying alternative to cigarettes. Juul is a vapor product that contains nicotine for a satisfying transition. If you're one of the 34 million adults who smoke, know that there is an alternative to cigarettes. Make the switch at Juul.com. That's J-U-U-L.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
This is firefighter Raphael Porriette for Firehouse Subs. Introducing the new spicy Cajun chicken sub. Cajun seasoned grilled chicken breast, zesty cherry peppers, and house-made Cajun mayo. Just $5.55 for a medium. Remember, a portion of every sub you buy helps provide life-saving equipment for first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Limited time only, plus tax. Participating locations. Firehouse Subs would donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
Coach Wanstead.
If you're the Bears, what do you expect them to do with Cody Parkey moving forward? Will he be part of this team next year?
That's a tough one, you know. Obviously, you know, we all got to admit that the guy did get a hand on the ball. You know what I mean? So if the quarterback, if a pass gets deflected and it gets intercepted, you're going to get rid of the quarterback or blame it on him. I mean, I would not. Leading up to that, obviously, he had missed more field goals than anybody in the NFL. So, I mean, the history of this thing this year obviously is not good. It might be best for him to go somewhere else and kick, really. You know, and he might be a better player for it, and the Bears move on, and that's the end of it.
Mully and Hall. 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
State Farm, this is Bill.
It finally got me, Bill.
What's that, Rick?
The Clark Street crater, the mother of all potholes.
Oh.
Yeah, year after rim-wrecking year, it's tormented the people of this town. They try to fill it, but it always returns. It got me good.
But you know, State Farm's got you too.
You hear that? You ain't nothing!
You trash talking a pothole?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Go with the one that's here to help life go right. State Farm. Talk to an agent today.
Hi, I'm Taraji P. Henson. In my new movie, What Men Want, I can hear men's thoughts. You better
think. On February 8th.
How did this happen?
The psychic gave me this tea.
I thought black people stopped drinking tea after Get Out.
Taraji P. Henson, Aldous Hodge, Erykah Badu, Tracy Morgan.
If you only knew what I was thinking right now.
Trust me, we don't want to know.
What Men Want. Rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent. In theaters February 8th.
.com/credit. Terms, conditions, quality standards, and use.
In River North for Slam Dunkin' 3-Point Saturday, hosted by NBA legend Kendall Gill. But space is limited, so register now by texting Jack Hoops to...
You think...
think of the Home Depot for bedroom or bathroom updates. But bed linens or bath towels? Now you can find premium names like Laura Ashley, Eddie Bauer, and The Company Store at HomeDepot.com. It's a new year. Start with fresh new towels and bed linens from HomeDepot.com. Right now, up to 40% off with any order over $45 delivered free. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing. U.S. only, valid through February 3rd. Enter promo code BEDBATH15 at purchase for an extra 15% off.
At HappyWebFord.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score
and 670thescore.com.
Chicago Sports Station.
They blew the call, and man, there are a lot of opportunities, though, but that call puts it first and 10. We're on an E3 plays, and it's a game-changing call, and it's where it's at. So it's disappointing. Credit the Rams. They made enough plays, though. They won the game. The kicker made some big kicks. But for a call like that not to be made, man, it's just hard to swallow. And then to get a phone call.
Would you rather not have the phone call? Right? I mean,
I guess you'd rather not have the phone call.
We'd rather not have to get the phone call, but the league immediately took responsibility for it and said, yeah, should it have been pass interference, it's a clear and egregious helmet-to-helmet.
Could have been unnecessary roughness, too. There's three different ways you could have called that thing.
And it could have been a pick six.
Also could have been a pick six. We just watched, and I'll retweet the video, I find it again, from the end zone, like an opposite angle, one that I hadn't seen on the broadcast. You can see Nickell just, I mean, if he plays the ball, that thing's going back the other way. I mean, the ball's out a little late. It doesn't have a whole lot of zip on it. And instead, Nickell Robey-Coleman decides to lay out Tommy Lee Lewis, and that's that. This, though, from the Washington Post, Mark Maskey, not Bill Brasky, that's a different person, Mark Maskey, writing this. NFL leaders and league's rulemaking competition committee plan to give consideration this offseason to making pass interference calls subject to instant replay review. It will be discussed at length, along with additional fouls that coaches feel should be subject to review, said one person familiar with the league's inner workings. Any change would have to be approved by at least 3/4 of the 32 owners. The competition committee has always been opposed in the past to making judgment calls such as pass interference subject to review.
In either direction? So can they say, can you review it and say, yes, that should have been a pass interference call, or that should not have been? Can they pick it up or put it down?
In reading here, it doesn't say so much. Let's finish this out. It's only a couple more graphs. The outcome of Sunday's NFC title game potentially could prompt a change. A pass interference penalty against the Los Angeles Rams went uncalled in late regulation. They beat the Saints. We all know that. The non-call was not reviewable. Al Riveron, the NFL senior vice president of officiating, told Saints coach Sean Payton afterward the pass interference should have been called, and you have too the Robey-Coleman saying after the game that's exactly how he was trying to play it. Had the penalty been called, the Saints would have had the opportunity to drain the clock before attempting a go-ahead field goal. Peyton explained that to you in the cut that we aired coming back here from break. It doesn't say whether they'd go either way on this, and I would guess, because mostly the competition committee has balked at this, has not liked the idea of making judgment calls reviewable or reversible, that they haven't gotten to that yet. It would have to be, though, right? It would have to be able to be reviewed both ways.
I guess, but is there any way to put in some artificial threshold of egregiousness? Because obviously there's hand fighting on every play.
I mean, we'll get back to the
Prince of Mukamara call or Roquan Smith, where you say, it's probably an interference.
By making every play reviewable, you're asking the competition committee, you're asking referees to draw more arbitrary lines.
Yeah, the slippery slope argument on this one is going to be a reasonable one. It's one you got to hear out.
I hate making slippery slope arguments, but because you're enforcing this rule based on subjectivity currently, then by making it reviewable, you're going to have to make some hard and fast determinations, or at least the best you can. This is where they screwed up the catch rule for the better part of a decade. This is where you have screwed up the quarterback hit rule for really the entirety of the season. And though it's calmed down some, that's mostly because referees just didn't call the thing. And that's the problem you ran into with the Saints and Rams yesterday. They just didn't call that hit. They got scared. They swallowed a whistle. They choked on a flag. They held on to the thing. And they didn't want to call it because you don't want to be a referee that's making a call late in the game to affect the influence. Well, guess what? Not calling it affected the game in the same way.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Looking to take family or friends out to a game? Try a Chicago Wolves fan four-pack. Four tickets, four hot dogs, four drinks, popcorn, and free parking all at one low price. Visit ChicagoWolves.com and join the Wolves on their quest to be the last team standing. You had a comment regarding the Patriot fatigue that may be setting in. Are people fatigued?
Yeah.
I mentioned that I'm not allowed to be fatigued by pro sports greatness based on why I say I enjoy professional sports. There's a take here from Stonecutter.
Okay.
He says, I am also someone who generally roots for greatness.
Sure.
But the Patriots are hard to cheer for because of Brady and Belichick, and it's not because they're both insufferable, or at least not exclusively. With the exception of the 16-0 season, the Pats never seem like the most talented team on paper. Experts and casual observers alike agreed the Chargers and Chiefs were more talented. Hmm. The Falcons team the Patriots beat was better. The Rams team the Patriots beat in 2001 was much better. The Seahawks were better. Most of the Peyton Manning teams, Colts or Broncos, were more talented. Many of the Steelers and Ravens teams have been more talented, as were many of the Tomlinson-era Chargers teams. Ironically, there have only been four times I thought the Patriots were definitively better than their Super Bowl opponents. The game against the Panthers in 03.
Yeah, clearly.
The two teams that lost to the Giants. And last year's team that lost to the Eagles. Don't get me wrong, the Patriots always achieve greatness. But every year, I get the sense that they're third, fourth, fifth best team in the league. And then their coach and their quarterback overcome deficiencies that would kill other teams. As odd as this may sound, I would have a much easier time rooting for the Patriots if I thought they were better.
I don't know how that jives with
see,
me.
For me, it makes my argument in that if you look at it as a body of work, that if you look in each of these individual seasons, the fact that they always do better than you think they should based on how good you have to retroactively then consider that's where the greatness is.
To be honest, I'd agree. To be honest, that quells my fatigue. This and maybe I can define it better. Maybe picking the word fatigue was more of a buzzword than anything else. But it's not as though that I can't watch them anymore. It's not that this fatigue is in any way dismissive of what the Patriots have achieved. I just think there's something natural in watching each of the last, what was it, every single year, we're right back to where we started the season. The Patriots, and don't let Julian Edelman tell you different, the Patriots were a favorite among the favorites to be back in the Super Bowl and win the thing when the year started. So when you do this bet against this t-shirt crap, or you play this nobody believes in us but us, It leans into, I don't know, whatever bulletin board material that Bill Belichick wants to put up there. And I don't buy that, and I don't like that, especially for my professional sports franchises. That has no place there for me. It can for you, and that's fine. You get to watch it however you want. But that's for other places. That's for the NCAA tournament. You know, that's for the college football playoff. That's for that. That's not for professional franchises. And when you find the greatness of the Patriots in the little things, in the fact that they don't have a guy like Dee Ford a foot and a half offside, that they don't have mental mistakes like that happen all that often, and when other teams make them, they seize on it, snap the neck, and sever the jugular and end things. Like, that is part of their greatness. And it's very clear and obvious. It's why, I think it's probably why the NFL, or maybe it's all beneficiary of the game you're putting out there, the quality of the game you're putting out there. That's why everybody keeps on watching.
773 texter says, Dan, you said it could have been a pick six. That didn't happen. The guy getting hit in the head did happen. Don't twist it.
It's not twisting it. Just look at the throw.
Not twisting anything. I'm just saying that if he had played the ball, he was over there before the ball got there and could have grabbed it and taking it on the dead run.
Which just plays into how egregious the foul was to begin with.
By the way, congratulations to the Chicago Bears, who have just added a Pro Bowler. Mitchell Trubisky is going to replace Jared Goff.
Be damned.
In the Pro Bowl.
Well,
how do you think Trubisky did?
Plan to watch now.
Really?
No, you don't. I don't think I do.
Mitchell Trubisky, Pro Bowl quarterback.
Maybe I'll watch. Yeah. I will watch more highlights of it than I'd ever had before.
We are going to give away another opportunity to win $1,000 in cash in just a moment, so keep listening. Gearhead Boy's out today in Lexington, Kentucky. He's on the score. What's up?
Dan, Connor, good to talk to you guys. You were talking about the pass interference, and what I think, maybe you guys will disagree, what I think should happen is, since it's a spot foul past 15 yards, any pass interference over 15 yards should be reviewable. And, you know, Dan, they've talked for a couple years now about having an official in New York that could buzz in. That helmet-to-helmet and non-call would have been a great opportunity for a guy in New York to buzz the referee and stop play for just a second and issue a penalty right there. If you're going to make it a spot foul, you reward quarterbacks who are stronger arm, because you can make it a 50, 52,
yeah,
you know, yard penalty, whereas, you know, some of your weaker arm guys or older quarterbacks like a Eli or something are not going to get that benefit. And how many in a game are there that are old? And I'm not talking about illegal contact or defensive holding. Leave those alone. But anything that's a PI over 15 yards, I think, should be reviewable.
That's reasonable. I think if you trust the eye in the sky to be objective and to see what we're seeing, I wouldn't have a problem with at least putting that in on an experimental beta basis and say, have that person say, well, whoa, hold on a second. He never touched him, or guy didn't turn his head. Should have there's all sorts of ways, as long as we know what the criteria are and we know it when we see it.
Yeah, it's weird for me to be in this spot because I'm usually pro replay. I want to get it right. I think the call should be right. But I think in this instance, you're dealing with referees that just didn't want to throw it because of when it was in the game and what the score was too. So maybe it feels so big because of when it was. I don't know that it's that big a deal league-wide. I get wanting to change it. I just, this slippery slope thing worries me. And I think, too, you know, one play doesn't decide the outcome of a game.
Right. But it does sometimes.
But it does.
Except when it does.
But it does sometimes. It's just, I would feel better about it if the Saints had punched in one of their two field goals. I would feel better about it if Sean Payton had managed the clock better and not ferreted away some his late possession to draw out clock. Like, they are not without sin here, but they don't deserve to have that call not made. They just don't.
One thing you need to understand, too, that this is for texters who are asking, did that guy really say the text like that? How do you know the texter talks like that? Here's the deal. Every dumb texter sounds like however I want them to sound. It's one thing. It's territory that you cede to me when you decide to express yourself via
text.
That's true.
You do get the voice.
I get to make the text sound however I want. That's part of the fun of reading texts, is the dumber the text is, the dumber I get to make it sound. I do that. So get used to it. And if you want to be part of the conversation via text, understand that if you send a dumb text, I'm going to read your dumb text. For example, here's one. Dan, how do you know that texter talks like that? Or this one from the 708.
Did he really say the text like that?
There you go.
Exactly. That's how these things happen. I mean, now it is time for your chance to win $1,000 in cash on the score. This hour's keyword is value. Text value to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is value to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please don't text and drive. Message and data rates may apply. And it's rare that we get to see the Bulls broadcast team start buzzing around.
That's right.
Now we know why they're not let out during sunlight.
Yeah, no, filtering in.
You know, talking,
getting Jeff Mangert in
here. Say, talking stats with the wizard, the giant pulsating brain of a Jeff Mangert. You see Steve Cashel out there orbiting, getting ready his deep Bulls thoughts for you.
This is a rare time for us. It used to happen to me a lot. I used to work over at the same spot. This is nice. It kind of feels like old home. Better.
708 texter. Dan, do you think I'm dumb? No, I don't. See, if I
yeah.
I could make you sound like James Mason.
If I could,
the great thing about reading text is it gives me control.
Dan hates texters. He doesn't like James Harden's game, nor does he like cake. Solid list.
That is a strange list for you to have, by the way. Not liking the league's MVP, not really, and then not liking cake. Those are two things. Like, your three-legged stool holds two things there that's like, those aren't very popular legs.
And no, you cannot...
I don't know what your third leg is there, but it's not very popular.
And you're not allowed to request that your texts are read in a certain voice. I'm sorry. Those requests will not be honored.
On Fridays, maybe.
Or I will get... If you do place a request, I will read them wrong on purpose. Our thank yous today go to our guest, Chris Raybon, who joined us. Our producers, Eli Hershkovich, Rick Camp, and Ray Diaz. Brian Gerch had the video feed, and nobody had our updates.
No, we've got to get out the way.
Because Bulls basketball is coming up.
That's why.
They're here. I did check when we called the league office, and we did find out if, in fact, somebody has to win this game.
Yes, there will be a win awarded.
And we have been told your starting point guard today for the Cleveland Cavaliers is Cameron Payne.
Go Bears!
I think that's all you need to know. It's the Cameron Payne Revenge Tour, and you are going to hear it next. Bulls basketball is coming your way on your home for the Chicago Bulls. We'll be back tomorrow on The Score.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, you're listening to the voice of the Chicago sports fan for over 25 years. Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Chicagoland's home for award-winning all-wheel drive.
And now, an ad from Mom.
Bundle home and auto with Progressive and save on your car insurance. Excuse me, maybe we should add in the word money so they know that they're saving money. I'm just going to add that in there, okay? Hello? Just nodding at me. Okay, well, he's got enough buttons to push in there.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
The kitchen calendar may say 2019, but if your kitchen's more like 1992, come into the Home Depot for up to 30% off appliance special buys. Like a 4-piece stainless steel Samsung kitchen suite, now just $2,978. More than 2,000 off a Samsung fridge, gas range, microwave, and dishwasher. Better mark it on your new calendar. Up to 30% off select appliances. Now, at the Home Depot. More saving. More doing. U.S. only while supplies last. See store for details. Electric range available at extra cost. Valid through January 23rd.
This is firefighter Raphael Porriette for Firehouse Subs. Introducing the new spicy Cajun chicken sub. Cajun seasoned grilled chicken breast, zesty cherry peppers, and house-made Cajun mayo. Just $5.55 for a medium. Remember, a portion of every sub you buy helps provide life-saving equipment for first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Limited time only, plus tax. Participating locations. Firehouse Subs would donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Listen to the Lawrence Holmes Show, nights 6 to 10.
Patrick Manley joining me here on The Score.
All right, I'll run you through the entire play. I'll start from snap all the way through the kick. The snap came back, and if you look at laces being at 12 o'clock, the laces were 6 o'clock, so they were backwards. They were almost completely backwards. Pat O'Donnell did a great job of spinning the ball and having it sitting there forward, and before he got to the kick, the ball was, you know, set down right with the right angle, and then you can just tell that Cody does not look comfortable. And all his steps all the way to the ball, to his follow through, he doesn't look comfortable. He looks like he peaks a little quick. He looks like he gets a little quick in his swing and pulls it a little left. 43-yard kick needs to be a little higher. And that's the kicker's job to do that, just knowing that the rush will come, and especially on a 43-yard game winner where they're coming with a little extra juice.
Lawrence Holmes, nights 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago Sports Station. Thanks for streaming The Score. Listen to the Lawrence Holmes Show, nights 6 to 10.
Patrick Manley joining me here on The Score. What will you take away from the Bears' 2018 season?
They overachieved, in my opinion. I didn't think they would be this good yet. I think Khalil Mack made the biggest difference, obviously, when they got him, and the defense became what they were. I just think they've sped up their growth, and I'm just excited to see where they go, because I think they have a lot of good young players that took that next step. I think going into the season, everybody was hoping for Eddie Goldman, Leonard Floyd, Eddie Jackson, all these young guys to take that next step instead of just being the best nose guard on the Bears, be the best nose guard in the NFC North. And all those guys, to me, did that. And I think they're there and can only get better. And I think it's shown from their Pro Bowl recognition, their All-Pro recognition. But I just feel like it was a huge step forward instead of just a small step forward.
Lawrence Holmes, nights 6 to 10 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station. Thanks for streaming The Score, Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
Coach Wanstead.
If you're the Bears, what do you expect them to do with Cody Parkey moving forward? Will he be part of this team next year?
Here's the biggest thing that I would look at. I remember with Jim Harbaugh a little bit. I'm standing on the field. The excitement, I can't even describe it, being the Bears coach in Soldier Field, and the fans for a preseason game booed Jim Harbaugh. That's part of the thing in my mind. I'm thinking to myself, for whatever reason, you know, I'm not so sure that Jim's not going to be a better player and be happier somewhere else. And you get to a point where if Cody's back next year, every field goal, and guys are going to miss. If he misses an extra point next year, all they're going to talk about is this game. And here we go again.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Bulls fans, welcome to the BMO Harris Bank pregame show, the official bank of the Chicago Bulls on Sports Radio 670 The Score and the Chicago Bulls Radio Network. Here's Steve Cashel.
And following a 10-day road trip and a quick stop home for a battle against the Miami Heat on Saturday, the Chicago Bulls are back on the road and today helping celebrate Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day with a game in Cleveland against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And good morning, everybody. I'm Steve Cashel reporting from our Bulls Network studios here in downtown Chicago. Welcome to the BMO Harris Bank pregame show, the official bank of the Chicago Bulls. Here we go as the Bulls meet the Cavs for the third time this season. Bulls winning the first two and today hoping to snap a 10-game losing skid. For more on today's game, let's go to the Q, Quicken Loans Arena, Cleveland, Ohio. Say hello to our play-by-play team, Chuck Swirsky and Bill Wennington. Hey, guys.
Hey, Stephen, thank you, and good morning. And it's always a pleasure. We're ready for Afternoon Bowl as we celebrate the life and legacy. The NBA does a great job recognizing the priorities and the wisdom and the knowledge of Dr. Martin Luther King. And, Bill, we got a ball game between two teams, both desperate for a victory. The Bulls have lost 10 in a row, 11 to 12. Cleveland has lost 15 of 16. Their only victory came out west a week ago against the Lakers, and then the Bulls followed that ball game losing to the Lakers. Two teams came back from the West Coast with a combined road trip of 1-11. Cleveland is banged up. The Bulls are banged up. So the obvious question is, what's going to happen?
Well, someone's going to win. Someone's going to be someone's going to be happy tonight. And Cleveland, what, they lost 12 in a row, then won a game, as you said, and they've won lost three since then. The Bulls are on their longest losing streak of the season. They did lose 10 games in a row last year, if you remember, right after training camp. Then Mirotić came back, and they won seven in a row. But the Bulls have not lost 11 in a row in a while. And I don't want to say it's fortunate you're playing the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight, but they are the worst team in the NBA. They give up 49% field goal percentage. That is the worst in the NBA, and that is good for the Bulls right now because they have been struggling from the field as of late shooting the basketball. But need to find a way to put some points on the board here tonight. This is a Cleveland team that averages just 102 points a game, and you have a real opportunity here on the road to kind of get yourself on track, see how you can do.
All right, so Bill, here's the situation for the Bulls. We know that Wendell Carter is out, and they're going to change up the starting lineup. It'll be Rolo one game. It'll be Portis in another ball game. Rolo will start, but the Cavaliers. Henson, who came over in the Milwaukee trade for George Hill, he's still out with a wrist injury. Kevin Love with a toe injury. He's only played three games. Larry Nance Jr. has a knee injury. He won't play. David Nwaba has an ankle injury. He won't play. Tristan Thompson has a left foot injury. He won't play. And they sent J.R. Smith home well over a month ago because he just didn't want to be a part of a rebuilding point and stage with the Cavaliers. And that's a big reason all of the injuries and whatnot. The Cavaliers are 9-38. And yet, the fans here in Cleveland are waiting for the next chapter. And they sell out every game, Bill. 19,432. The Bulls attendance is very strong. So I think these two franchises are really building on the nucleus of the young players they have and also for the future.
And you're absolutely right. The Bulls have some young players out there right now on the floor. It's just a matter of getting the chemistry down, working together. Obviously, you go through a coaching change here mid-season. It kind of changes things up a little bit. And one of the dynamics that you've got to get used to, and it's really hard as a player, and I had to go through this with Richie Adubato when he was an assistant coach with the Dallas Mavericks. When you're a head coach, their attitude changes and their role changes as a team, so they become a little bit different. So you have to get used to that change, and I think the players are now trying to get used to it. Jim Boylan as a head coach, his demeanor and everything has changed, as opposed to Jim Boylan, the assistant coach, where things are going on. So that's taking a little bit of time. The Bulls will get it. As you said, they have a lot of young talent. Larry Markkanen has found his groove again. He's got things back. Bobby Portis has gotten back from an injury, and he's starting to feel his way through the offense and defensively what he can do. Zach LaVine is a fine young player, but he's a guy that's trying to find that, make that adjustment right now. And I've liked what I've seen out of Chris Dunn. He's getting more and more confidence and much more, brain lock. Consistent, excuse me, thank you, in his game.
Okay, I want to ask you about Dunn very quickly, and then we'll turn it back to Steve. He hasn't taken a free throw at Dunn in 81 minutes. He's taken only four threes in his last 170 minutes, Bill. So is this a different mindset now that Dunn is taking, his approach? Because we've seen him slice and cut in the lane with that little pull-up 10-footer, 12-foot jump shot, which has been, to me, very effective. But what are we looking at as far as Dunn today and for the down the road?
Well, his game is his athleticism right now. And until he can master that three-point shot, he's got to attack the basket. And the Bulls as a whole, Zach LaVine, same thing. You got to attack the basket and get contact. And I know it hurts. I know it's difficult. But you got to get to the foul line and finish at the rim. And that's something the Bulls need to work on as a team. It's not just Chris Dunn that does that. But Chris's strength is his quickness, beating his man to the basket, and then finishing over the help defense that's coming there. And if the help defense is coming, you got to absorb that contact, not shy away from it.
Yeah.
Or pass the ball out all the time for a three.
Yes, LaVine is averaging only four free throw attempts this month. By the way, Steve, I want to let you know I just got off the phone with Tony Romo, and he has predicted a Bulls victory.
Love it, Chuck. Thanks so much.
That's a joke because he predicted every play that
yes, he did.
The Patriots and Chiefs were running. Work with me, Bill. Got a Tony Romo. He predicted every play.
Who's Tony Romo?
He's the analyst that works with Jim Nance on the NFL games.
Doesn't he have an Italian restaurant?
No, Bill. He's the former Dallas quarterback who's now in the booth at CBS. He does an unbelievable job predicting plays. He sees the set and what plays are run even before they're acted out.
Okay. He's a fortune teller. Okay.
In a sense, yeah. Okay, Steve, back to you.
All right, Chuck, Bill, thanks so much. Still to come on our pregame show today. We're going to run down today's other NBA action. Also listen into our coaches show with Bulls head coach Jim Boylan. Bulls basketball today. Bulls meet the Cavs. Game broadcast live from Cleveland, live right here on the Score and the Bulls Radio Network.
Listen to the Bernstein and McKnight Show, 9 a.m. to 1, Bulls Talk and all things Chicago sports, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's official radio home of the Bulls, a radio.com station.
It started with a ball on a dusty driveway. Layup, jumper, up and under. A shot clock ran through your mind as dim lights at dusk silently coaxed you on. The game progressed. You fall for next and respect amongst players that seemed stronger, faster. But you kept showing up, took your hits, drained a few shots, showed up the next day, and then the next. The work began to pay off. First letter. First start, a full ride, even though they said you were undersized. When the draft came and your name was called, Handshakes from men in suits seemed to indicate that you finally made it. What they didn't realize was, you'd only just begun. At Kia, we recognize the commitment it takes to be one of the best. That's why we're the official automotive partner of the NBA. Visit your local Kia dealer or KiaDealers.com. Kia, official vehicle of the Chicago Bulls.
Hey Bulls fans, don't wait for the next home game to take your Bulls pride on the road. United has the most nonstop service from Chicago. So visit United.com to book your travel today and see your Bulls in action. United, proud to be the official airline of the Chicago Bulls.
The NBA's biggest stars are teaming up in Charlotte for NBA All-Star 2019. With NBA All-Star voting presented by Google, you can decide the starting lineup for the Queen City's big night. Vote daily for your favorite players at NBA.com or download and vote on the NBA app. You can even vote on Google by searching for your favorite player or team. Vote today and every day through January 21st and celebrate the game.
This is the official radio home of Bulls basketball.
Topside, three ball.
And for the latest Bulls news and game recap, listen to Mully and Haw mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
Welcome back, everybody. BMO Harris pregame show. Bulls fans wake up every morning with Chicago's morning sports show, Mully and Haw, Monday through Friday from 5 to 9 a.m. on 670 The Score, the home of the Bulls. Today, Bulls and the Cavs in Cleveland. Steve Cashel back with you in our Bulls Radio Network studios in downtown Chicago. Game number 47 for the Bulls, 10-36 overall, 5-19 on the road. 23rd game for Jim Boylan, his head coach. He's 5-17 since taking over. Cavs have lost 15 of their last 16, 9-38 overall, 5-17 at home. Busy day in the NBA, 11 NBA games on this Monday, celebrating the King holiday. 7 afternoon games, 1 already underway. Thunder and the Knicks meeting in New York, 14-8, a couple minutes in. Knicks have lost 5 in a row. Other big games, Dallas at Milwaukee. Bucks have won 4 straight. And tonight, 3 great games. Houston at Philadelphia, James Harden, 19 straight, 30-plus point games. Portland's at Utah Jazz have won 6 in a row. And Golden State and the Lakers top it off. Warriors, number one in the West, they've won 7 in a row. Time now for our coaches show. Here's Chuck Swirsky with our Bulls head coach, Jim Boylan.
Coach, early afternoon ball game, Martin Luther King Day, as we celebrate the life and legacy of Dr. King. We'll talk more on that in a moment, but let's talk about your ball club as you approach tonight's game or this afternoon's game.
Well, we got to come out and have a good start. You know, we got to win that first quarter. We got to bring the energy and the effort to do that. We got to get the ball hopping. I thought we were stagnant in the second half in our last game. I thought I hurt our ability to kind of play at both ends. Kind of lost our spirit a little bit there in the second half when they were making shots and we weren't. Then we started holding the ball, and I didn't like that. So we got to improve there.
How do you improve that, Coach? Is something as a coach you can teach, or is that something that comes from a player's heart?
Well, what we do is we show it and we try to explain what happened, and heart and effort are big parts of it, but I think they need to see it and understand in those moments what we could do better, and that's where the teaching and the coaching comes in, and we just try to lay that foundation, you know, lay that groundwork for how we can do it better the next time.
Coach, any update, by the way, on Wendell Carter?
I have not heard one.
No, okay. No. Let's talk about this Cleveland ball club. They're coming off a West Coast trip, as you did, prior to the ball game the other night, obviously, with Miami. What do you make of the Cavs?
Well, they've got some guys that can really score the ball in Hood and Clarkson. They're always a concern. Zizic is playing well. And they're playing at home, and they need to win, too. So we expect a competitive game. They're going to come in with their teeth out, and we got to be ready for it.
Yeah. Coach Yoner, you obviously have grown up in a situation with high school ball, college ball, professional basketball. You know the importance of today with Martin Luther King, with the NBA celebrating his birthday and his life and his legacy. Any thoughts about, yeah, you know, the impact he had?
Well, what always stands out to me about this day and about Dr. King is his courage. His courage to make a stand, and I love that. I love that part of it. I just think there's such a message in there of fighting for what you believe in, fighting for what you what is right, and fighting for injustice and inequality. And you know, I just so thankful for today and thankful for him.
Well spoken, Coach. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, that's Jim Boylan, head coach of the Bulls, right here on the Bulls Radio Network.
Hey, it's Mac here. We talk Bulls weekday afternoons 1 to 6 on the McNeil and Parkin Show, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's radio home for the Bulls.
Hi, this is Chuck Swirsky for Jerry Haggerty Chevrolet. Now, I don't do a lot of endorsements. In fact, very few. But I do want to endorse Jerry Haggerty Chevrolet in Glen Ellen. I love my Chevrolet Equinox. It's a great ride. It's a smooth ride. Jerry Haggerty and his staff, they're total class. When you walk into Jerry Haggerty Chevrolet, you know you're going to be treated with respect. For value and integrity, it has to be Haggerty at 300 Roosevelt Road in Glen Ellen. Online at jerryhaggertychevrolet.com.